Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN on this Friday evening. And to celebrate the end of the week and make everyone feel good about the times we used to live in, Don, I decided to throw on a sport coat. I think every Friday night during ENN, I'm going to class it up and go back to my sport coat ways. And I got to tell you, I had just gotten this baby right before everything went down.
Now it's big. You're swimming in it.
I had to go in and get it let out. I no longer have to go get it let out. What do you think of this, Michael? Can you see it?
Yeah, it looks very nice.
It's a gorgeous Varvatos jacket. Remember, I got it at that sample.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, you'd really like it. I wish you could see it up close. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
You are a hideous looking human being.
Thank you. And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Good job out of you.
RJ, do you have the Daily Don music over there? By any chance?
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie!
All right, well, I'm in for Don, and I am doing the top five wrestling families. And I decided to keep it as there has to be one parent and at least one child. It could also be multiple children who also performed in the wrestling industry.
I like wrestling.com.
This is the lead, Michael, huh?
And, this is big. We have been waiting for it all day. I don't know if you noticed. People like the fun stuff, guys.
Putting into.
Well, you want me to go over...
The first hour of the show must have been a thrill for everybody then.
Hold on. You want me to jump right back into, the sports world is due to lose $12 billion due to coronavirus? No, people are here to smile. It's Friday, damn it. I'll let you guys have some guesses.
That's
Don?
What Walter Cronkite used to say, too.
Don, you got anything?
I will go with...
You want us to guess?
Yeah, of course
I'm trying to guess.
It's a Daily Don.
Flares. Where do the Flares fit?
You know what, Don? I'm glad you said it. And you are the Michael Kay of the Peter Daily Don.
You know what, Don? I'm gonna expose him now for the fraud that he is, and he's going to lose a job because of it. Go ahead. That's the number one. You're a clown. You're a clown.
Doesn't feel good.
The McMahons aren't number one. The McMahons aren't number one.
You know, Don.
Vince and Stephanie and Shane, they're not number one. Hand in your card up in Stanford.
Let me start with you, what you had to say there, Don. Ric Flair is simply the GOAT, the greatest to ever do it. When you add up the success, the in-ring ability, the charisma, the influence, he's the number one greatest professional wrestler of all time. His daughter, Charlotte Flair, you could argue, is already the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
Woo!
And either way, she's on her way to being that.
Woo!
They occupy number one. Michael, you said Vince.
Woo!
And Shane.
Stephanie
and
Shane.
Now, you could also argue that Vince and his father. Vincent J. McMahon. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to put them on the list because Vince is not... He became an in-ring competitor later in life, but that is not his trade. His trade is as a businessman. So they sort of oversee this whole list, but I kept them out of the list.
I'm with Peter on that.
Thank you. Vince and his father are the two biggest visionaries, you could argue, of all time in the history of the business.
But that's another list.
Different list. Mm. Any other guesses?
The Rock and his dad.
Rocky Johnson, of course, a big star in his own right, a tag team champion in the WWF, and his son went on to become a huge star in the wrestling business and the biggest actor in the world as a result of his success in wrestling. Rocky Johnson and Dwayne The Rock Johnson are number three on the list.
Jabroni!
That's right.
Bruno Sammartino and his little-known daughter, Bettina.
You know, you make a joke. Of course, Bruno Sammartino's son, David Sammartino, did not have a particularly distinguished career. Some would call it a huge, huge disappointment. So they did not make the list. But I'm glad you mentioned that because there are a few that were suggested to me that did not make the list but were to be thought of well. There was George the Animal Steele and his little-known son, Carl the Animal Steele.
Carl.
Yes, Roman Reigns and his little-known father, Thomas. Thomas Reigns did not make the list. And this one came from a Twitter user, Jay, who suggested I do the great Fabulous Moolah and her little-known dad, not-so-fabulous Hank Moolah, which he did also did not make the list.
How about Mil Máscaras and his little-known son, Phil?
Mil and Phil?
Yeah.
No, Mil and Phil did not make the list. Don, any other guesses? You want me to just move on here?
I think I'm out.
All right. At
How about The Undertaker and his son, The Overgiver?
He's rolling now, Don. He's in the zone now.
He loves it.
Ernie Ladd and somebody?
No. Number five, I put Dusty Rhodes and his son Cody.
Dusty, that's a good one.
Dusty's one of the greatest to ever do it. His son, of course, now has his own company and had a long and successful career in WWE as multiple characters and is just great in ring. And they're number five. Number
the American
four,
Dream.
That's right, the Dream, baby, if you will. Number four, the shirt I'm wearing right now, the Von Erichs. Of course, Fritz was the father. Right. And it was a tragic, tragic story of the five Von Erich boys, four of them dying. The most well-known, of course, being Carrie Von Erich. The only remaining living Von Erich is Kevin Von Erich, who lives in Hawaii. But they were literally the biggest pop stars in Texas, monster stars in the 80s. They're number four. Rocky Johnson and The Rock, number three. The great icon, Stu Hart. You may be familiar with some of his kids, including Bret Hitman Hart and Owen Hart. But all the kids wrestled. Bruce, tons of them. That's the Hart family at number two. And then, as I said, number one.
I was going to ask you if the Harts had a father that wrestled.
What did you say?
I was going to ask you if the Hart brothers had a father that wrestled.
Yes. Well, their father was not only a wrestler, but a huge promoter in Canada as well, in Calgary. He was the man.
Didn't they like base The Sound of Music on the Von Erich family?
That is also correct. I'm surprised you didn't know that. Yeah. Now, number one is the Flairs, of course, Rick and Charlotte. And, Michael, it's funny you say that. The reason the Von Erichs are called the Von Erichs is, can you take a guess at what Fritz Von Erich's character was? Here's a hint. He got started in Texas in the 50s. Fritz Von Erich was his character's name. Any guesses?
No.
Oh, he was a Nazi sympathizer.
Hmm.
That was his original heel character. But he eventually became a good guy and kept the name Fritz Von Erich.
I mean, that's owning heel, isn't it?
That's going all the way with it when you go Nazi sympathizer. Bob Orton and Randy Orton didn't make the list. They were right there. And Angelo Poffo and the great Randy Macho Man Savage also didn't make the list. But they were right there because Randy may be the GOAT. Now, I hate to go from one list to another, but I have to. Don, did you see what Keith Hernandez did with SNY?
No.
This is right up your alley. I can't believe you haven't been asked to do this. Beyond the Booth, 27 must-watch movies from Keith Hernandez.
Oh, I got to see this. And I will tell you if they're worth anything.
I'll throw a couple of names, titles at you, okay?
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic, another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37.
That's the thing we miss. We can't have Don shows.
Not the same way.
When we're not together, yeah.
And it'll never happen again.
What?
We'll
Why would you say that?
Again.
Why would it never happen again?
I don't know. Just... Michael's killing off part of the family. It's not good. But go ahead. I want to hear the list. All 27. Okay. Go.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, awesome movie.
Shane.
Hmm.
Little Big Man.
Not familiar.
Jeremiah Johnson.
There's a lot of Westerns here.
Yeah.
This is the Western section.
Okay, Keith.
Dances with Wolves.
Boy, that was just too long for me.
Sci-fi, here's the category for you, Don. Sci-fi, right up your alley. He threw in War of the Worlds.
Okay.
Blade Runner.
Which one? The original one or the one
1953, correct.
Okay, so not the Tom Cruise vehicle.
Not the Tom Cruise vehicle. Keith threw in Blade Runner, the director's cut.
Sure.
The Thing. Star Wars, Alien, and Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
All pretty good, yeah.
I'm going to skip over his romances.
Okay.
His comedies are all very old. I mean,
that doesn't mean they're not great. Go ahead.
I know, but you know what? I'm telling you, I'm calling Some Like It Hot.
He's got Some Like It Hot, right?
No. I'm calling Keith Hernandez on his comedy list for trying too hard, bro.
Okay.
His most recent movie on the comedy list is 1981, SOB.
That's
Michael,
do
you know it?
I don't know that movie.
Yeah, it's what's the director's name?
He goes with a Marx Brothers movie, Night at the Opera.
Can't go wrong with the Marx Brothers.
A Shot in the Dark from 1964, a Peter Sellers movie.
Mm-hmm.
What's New Pussycat?
Good. That's another Peter Sellers is in that, too.
Peter O'Toole and Peter Sellers. And How to Murder Your Wife, 1965, Jack Lemmon vehicle.
Yeah, he tried way too hard.
He tried to. Come on.
Way too hard, bro.
Can I just get Billy Madison? Going a little... A little hard there,
yeah,
but anyways.
Come on. Something About Mary.
No, nothing like that. No,
Farrelly
Brothers. No Farrelly Brothers.
Oh, give me a
Coen Brothers. Anyways.
He doesn't like the laugh.
Go to SNY and check out
Keith. If he wanted to go old school, he should have went Some Like It Hot.
Now,
I mean, he's 66 years old, guys. What do you think? He's going to, like, you know, get, like, Superbad?
See, you've seen Superbad.
I'm not 66.
You're 59.
But Caddyshack is 80. Animal House is 78.
Right.
Come on, Keith. Come back to us. Come back to us, Keith.
See? You could go late 70s, early 80s, and Keith was a young man. Don, do the math for me. How old was Keith in 1985?
50.
And then add 10.
60.
Then divided by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
He was 26 years old.
Yeah, I mean, there were good comedies coming out throughout. He could have tons of movies there.
He was 24 when
Stripes?
Animal House came out. Yeah, exactly. Although Stripes, the bad ending.
I never
when
even
they
seen
went
it.
To Europe. That was
I was just thinking of 80s comedies that went there.
No, but you're right. It's just so many.
How about Three Amigos?
I wouldn't have it there. You know, another a good one is Stir Crazy. Doesn't get enough credit.
You know, it's an underrated movie, and it may be a little bit more serious than funny. But I'm going to say it right now: Parenthood, Steve Martin vehicle.
That is a terrific movie. Not just funny.
No, it's so deep.
But just
poignant.
Oh.
It's you know, so it's a terrific comedy and also a fairly, you know, sad movie is the Steve Martin, John Candy vehicle.
Planes, Trains?
Oh, that's an awesome movie.
Planes, Trains?
Lines in there and very moving, too, at the end.
Really? I've never seen Planes, Trains.
Oh, you'll love it.
Oh,
you'll love it.
Please. You know what? You
this
got
weekend?
A whole weekend.
Got to do it?
Seriously.
Well, I've been making a list that you guys probably wouldn't care. But we've been talking about stuff. These are things that I have not seen in their entirety that will make you sick.
Okay.
I definitely never saw Ken Burns Baseball in its entirety. I'm going to watch that.
You don't have to.
It's not that good?
No, it's good, but it's dated, honestly. It's from 94 and before. Like, I think for you, it's completely unnecessary.
But I think the oldie time stuff is what I need. I remember the 90s.
Yeah, well, but
let me give you
a
little hint of what it's like. He takes a picture of a still photo, and then moves the camera up to make it look like it's moving.
Yeah,
well, yeah. I mean, I saw Civil War.
That.
I saw
yeah,
Civil War.
That
so
move.
I know that move.
But you should see it. But I give me the rest of your list.
All right. Well, there's only three so far, and you're going to be sickened by all of them. Okay. Never seen Tin Cup.
Hey, I like that movie.
I thought you loved it.
Again, I love golf movies. Hey, golf.
And then haven't seen Bull Durham.
See, that's just outrageous. It's outrageous on a lot of levels, okay? First of all, you should see every Scorsese movie. There's no excuse not to see every single Scorsese movie, all right?
How about this? Didn't realize it was a Scorsese movie until 10 seconds ago.
Then, what did you say again?
No, I said Bull Durham,
oh,
not
Bull Durham.
Raging
I'm
Bull.
Thinking, why would I think, no, Bull Durham
yeah,
is overrated.
What are you doing, Don?
Don?
I got confused. For some reason.
I'm thinking to myself, when did
I
Bull
thought
Durham?
Raging, I heard Raging Bull. I heard Raging Bull.
It's a little known movie that people have not seen. Raging Bull Durham.
I did Bull Durham.
By the way,
I got a little confused.
Bull Durham was directed by Ron Shelton. Sure, he's great. He's not Scorsese.
I thought. Good job out of you. I thought you were saying. I thought you were going to say Raging Bull. That's an Andrew thing that he hasn't seen. That's where I got confused.
Yeah, okay.
I should have listened.
I've seen
harder.
Raging Bull.
It's good. I think that the people go nuts over it. I don't understand, but I think it's very good.
When it came out, I was young, and there was nudity and stuff in it, right? I don't think I was allowed to see it.
Is there nudity?
Yeah, I think there's sex in there.
Well, there's a lot of sex, but I don't know. I don't remember anybody being naked. I could be wrong.
Sex?
All right.
I don't think there was naked in there.
But you've seen Raging
RJ?
Bull, though.
Yeah. RJ, I'll need...
The nudes are back.
What Michael just said, I don't think there was naked in there. I think I'll need that moving forward.
Did you see Raging Bull?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Raging Bull's tremendous.
I'd have gone with a fat suit rather than gaining all the weight if I was
that's what makes
him the real
great.
Deal. Unlike his lesser-known son, Steven De Niro. Let's go to Adrian Wojnarowski, who was on Get Up, talking about the current status of the NBA season.
Infectious disease specialists who advise the NBA, other professional sports teams, I think anybody in our country right now, the message that they've given those people making decisions is this: hold off on having to make decisions until the final possible moment. And that's what the NBA is doing here. May 1st was kind of a date that Adam Silver put out a few weeks ago as really the very beginning of when the league would have to start, you know, considering decisions on the future of not only this season, but next season. And listen, the NBA still, from ownership level, commissioner's office, teams, players, the Players Association, they want to find a way to finish the season.
So we'll see. He also was asked, what could next season look like?
Not are they only working on this season, but next season. What does the NBA calendar look like going forward? You know, there's a lot of support in the NBA to move the start of next season to just prior to Christmas. And that's whether they finish this season or not. Because at the very least next year, it gives the NBA more time, more of an opportunity to be able to get fans in the arenas moving forward. And that's going to be important for the financial solvency of the league.
That makes sense.
And the sports world, we talked about it earlier, is set to lose an estimated $12 billion to coronavirus. It's an analysis conducted for ESPN, and the $12 billion number comes from major sports leagues losing $5.5 billion in revenue, college sports losing $3.9 billion, and youth sports losing $2.4 billion. And those are considered a conservative estimate. They don't include either pro or college football. So we'll see what happens after that. And obviously, we have no idea how long this thing is going to go. So
how
this could end up being even bigger.
Lose so much money?
Say it again?
How do youth sports... Is that just like the Little League World Series?
No. It's like if Jalen wants to go into a tumbling contest or playing softball, it's the parents traveling, hotel rooms, things like that, paying coaches. Youth sports make a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, those leagues they do, even rec leagues, make everything makes money.
Yeah, I mean, if your son or daughter is in a traveling league in baseball or something, you got to pay a lot of money for that.
Let's talk about an actual basketball story related to basketball. Stephen A. on First Take says he's in favor of the Knicks trying to get CP3.
There are a whole bunch of pluses associated with Chris Paul than minuses, and he can still ball. He's a future Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? But he's also big on family. Why does that matter? Because if you listen to anybody talk about Leon Rose, the new president of basketball operations for the New York Knicks, and you take into account what Rob Pelinka has been able to do, even in the aftermath of Magic Johnson departing from the Los Angeles Lakers, we can't summarily sneeze at that and dismiss it and shrug it off. Chris Paul is very, very big on family. I know both of his parents, his brother CJ, etc. You can't ask for better people. It don't get much better than the CP3 family. It's really special.
Okay. I don't know why that would matter. What matters to me is that you'd be picking up a guy who is, 35 years old and makes $40 million the next two seasons.
How is that helping the Knicks? Other than maybe just creating a little interest having some guy close out his career in a Knick uniform.
He's going to be 35 on May 6th. You know, if he has two more years left in him and they're not going to be able to get anybody else and they believe in R.J. Barrett and Knox and the young players they have on the team, Ntilikina, maybe Chris Paul could be a guiding influence. But I don't know if I want to pay a 35 and then a 36-year-old $40 million a year. I just don't know.
Giannis Antetokounmpo says The Last Dance has taught him greatness is a life mission. He's truly inspired, the reigning MVP is. He tweeted out, "My MJ takeaway from the Last Dance documentary is that chasing greatness is a life mission." Of course, parts 5 and 6 premiere, I can't wait, Sunday night, 9 o'clock on ESPN. And Lenny Wilkins, the former Cavs head coach, was on ESPN LA, and he was talking about the controversy about who wanted to guard Michael Jordan on that last shot against the Cavs. Was it Craig Elo or Ron Harper? Here is what Coach Wilkins had to say.
I don't remember that. He may have. You know, Ron was a very good player, a very confident player, and I love coaching him. But we had a defensive scheme set up. Craig Elo, who had been playing very well for us, to stay up on him, although Craig took a step the wrong way because he thought they were going to pass the ball into the low post, and that Michael got free. But Craig recovered and was right there, and Michael didn't make an easy shot. He made a tough shot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though.
Wasn't a good shot.
It was a great shot. Craig Elo and Mark Price both called BS on Harper. Craig Elo said never was he the guy that was covering the best defensive player. He said he was an offensive player. He was always thought as the first banana until he got to the Bulls, where he's the fourth banana.
Well, and
he said that's not true. And Mark Price said, I can't hear every conversation. He said, but at no point in that hall did I hear Ron Harper say, I want to cover Michael Jordan.
And Harper didn't get regarded as a great defender until he was in Chicago, right?
Right, because that was his job.
Right, that's
he was a scorer before that.
Yeah, it's so funny. You think of him as almost two separate careers because it was such a long time between that game against Elo and the player he was for the Bulls all those years later.
And I still contend I don't think that Elo did a bad job.
He didn't. It was an unguardable shot.
That's what I was saying. Open a Jace, right? I mean, yeah, he got a shot because he's the greatest player in the world, but it wasn't easy.
Ballard and I got into a big argument recently.
Good. Really? I think you should break up with Ballard.
Ballard! Was
they're together in that way.
Was, yeah. I don't, and especially now, we don't even see each other. But
why?
Well, because the COVID-19, the lockdown.
Okay.
Anyways, moving right along. I argued that – I said you could argue that's the greatest buzzer beater of all time. Ballard believes – and by the way, everything he says, if you can't tell, he's a very knowledgeable sports fan. He's also the most biased sports fan in history. Okay. Ballard argues, and I do think there's an argument for it, that Villanova – the buzzer beater at the end of the tournament 3 years ago is the greatest buzzer beater in basketball.
See, that's why Ballard is a clown, okay?
Whoa.
Well, how about the North Carolina State shot? One of the great upsets of all time.
But that
was a shot of Jace, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It still went in the bucket as the buzzer sounded.
Yeah, but that's not your quintessential, like, shot.
Who are you to decide a quintessential buzzer beater?
But Peter understands what I'm saying. It was a missed shot and a putback. I mean, so it was, you know.
It wasn't a missed shot. It was scored an assist.
I know it was scored an assist. But
in Ballard's defense, let me just say this. Let's knock the Elo Jordan out of the equation because – let's be honest, it was to advance. It wasn't for the championship. So let's say you put these two because they're in the championship game. You go Villanova over NC State because, to Don's point, it was nailing a perfect and challenged three-pointer at the buzzer. Right. That's bigger to me than the putback. And then, if you remember, guys, that shot came after a ridiculous three-pointer to tie the game on the previous possession.
So not only did we actually support Ballard,
that's right,
but make your clown statement completely ridiculous.
Yeah, no. First of all, you guys keep saying putback. It was not a putback. It was not a rebound.
Well, you know you're
that
being
was
Captain
the
Little
final shot.
But you know you're being Captain Little.
Being Captain Little.
I'm just –
there's a very good chance
would have to be
that
a rebound.
Was a
it was not a rebound.
But you can't tell me it wasn't a pass.
No. Wittenberg took a shot and missed it, but it fell far short.
An air ball.
So then the it was one of the biggest upsets in sports history.
I understand that's
and
another
that's
question.
The biggest buzzer
beater. You keep getting
period.
Confused.
You're all
hopping
wrong.
From list to list. We're talking
You're
about when you think of game-winning shot,
that's
you,
a,
don't
it's
think
still
about,
a shot.
You don't think
don't
about that
what
shot
you
against
think.
Houston.
I do.
But no, you don't.
I do.
You shouldn't.
I will.
If you think a shot, you're not thinking about an air ball that was grabbed and basically just a layup. You think about like a shot that is hit, contended.
I agree with Don.
You think of one thing, I think another. Here's another thing I think.
Next week,
there's a moratorium. He cannot be mentioned on the show.
Ballard?
Yeah.
Never.
I'll mention him. He will not be mentioned on the show.
But,
I'll walk off.
All right, but
Ballard.
But I think
Ballard.
What we did, though, at least give me this, Michael. You talk about me not wanting to lose an argument. is that we can agree to disagree on what you think a game-winning shot is. But to call Ballard a clown, I think, was proven ridiculous.
No.
We have now just demonstrated how it's debatable. So
yeah,
if it's debatable, then how can the loser be considered a clown?
You know what we got to do?
No. You know what, Don? I apologize. I call him a clown for his body of work. This just piled on.
But his body of work is basically his name.
Is Andrew on the line, the commissioner?
Get the commissioner on the line.
I want to hear the commissioner if he's there. He might have left. It's Friday. I understand.
You know Andrew at home. Like, he's answering phones in a hot tub.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Andrew, your feeling between the Villanova and the NC State buzzer beaters?
Well, Ballard is definitely not a clown for raising the Chris Jenkins shot as a possibility.
Ballard won
a championship. It's one of the most famous shots in college basketball history. I wonder if it's too – is it too recent, like, to be –
But, Andrew, is Lorenzo Charles's shot a shot?
Oh, no, that is also an epic buzzer beater, yeah. I think Don's wrong in discounting that.
No, because I've had it.
I'm not discounting it per se, but you can't tell me – the degree of difficulty, and listen, it would be a big deal had he missed it, right, Peter? At that particular point, if he goes up,
oh yeah,
and it bounces off the rim, you're like, this is one of the biggest goats of all time. He's up there with Weber calling timeout.
I mean, an alley-oop. Well,
can you rule on this, Andrew?
You can say alley-oop. That's not an alley-oop. That was an air ball.
So, Andrew, you have to choose the better
buzzer
beater.
Can you rule on this? That the things that we have heard him through Peter say over these last number of years puts him in clown town.
No, he's not a clown. I disagree with that. Oh. I like Ballard, and I like his opinions.
Wow. I love it. Double
down. Michael, you just have to sulk. Just sulk away or skulk away.
Whatever. Next week, it's a Ballard-free week. I don't want to hear his name mentioned.
And I'm going to go the other way. I want him on. I want him as a guest.
Well, hey there.
All right. Will Ferrell pulled a classic Will Ferrell, and Pete Carroll gave him a call. He popped up on the Seahawks video conference pretending to be Greg Olsen. He has a full Seahawks outfit on, wearing the hat. He says many things during his time pretending to be Greg Olsen, who they just signed in February. He said that he reportedly asked Russell Wilson to make a baby with him. He made it clear to Brian Schottenheimer that he didn't come to Seattle to block. And he starts showing off one of his own hand-drawn plays, which is called the 90s Go Flywheel Kanye Starburst. So you can check that out on ESPN.com.
I want to see that. That's awesome.
Sad note. Vanessa Bryant posted today, it would have been Gianna Bryant's 14th birthday today. I'm going to skip over reading the message just for all of our heart's sake, but I did want to mention happy birthday to Gianna Bryant. She would have been 14. On a positive note, Von Miller says he is now negative for coronavirus. He was tested again. On April 16th, he announced the diagnosis. Now it's May 1st. He says he no longer has it. The NBA reportedly considering robotic cameras as a way to reduce the number of people on site. My father sent me a ridiculous clip today of these automated food delivery trucks driving down the street in D.C. Pretty crazy.
You know what those trucks are called, right?
Go ahead.
McGoverns.
That is not where I thought you were going to go. That will do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
McGovern, Democrat, for the people.
You know, you haven't mentioned one thing. Did you see the video, Peter, of Mike Tyson training?
Yes.
I did. You're getting very excited.
Okay, I'm sorry, and you're going to disagree with me.
I am.
He could knock out Deontay Wilder.
But he wouldn't.
He'd have to do it fast. I don't think he could last 12 rounds. If he could do it within 3 rounds, he could do it.
Well, you're basing off that. Who's he sparring with?
I'm just seeing the way how active he is and what kind of shape he's in. The guy knows how to fight.
I mean, listen. Here's what the question is: until Mike Tyson is down beneath, he will have one punch knockout power. I think we all agree. Even at 52 years old, he can knock you out with his left hand. No questions asked. But the problem is, and you know, I love Mike. I'll cry again if he doesn't lose. What's he? How is he ever going to get close to Deontay Wilder? All Deontay would have to do is just tap him back all day with a jab. Mike's 5'11", and now he's too old to work around it.
You want to know how you do it?
How you do
Take a look at Ollie Frazier 1. That's how you do it. Same sort of height disadvantage, size disadvantage, reach disadvantage. You just keep plowing through.
I would love
to see. Wilder's never fought anybody like Mike Tyson.
I would love to see a mocu-series where you become, Michael Kay becomes Mike Tyson's like Mick. You're riding the bike. You could be Mike Tyson's Mick.
I would love that. But he'd have to stop smoking pot.
You got to remember, but if you make Michael part of the process, then it can't be a documentary.
That's right. That's right. Mike can't view it.
And it's going to be all about me.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.